5.
Ain't no way, Levi says, waving his hands at me. And I can't say I appreciate you screwing with me while some serious shit is going down.
I stumble off the road, clinging to a tall oak for support. Wish this was a prank.
Seriously, you're freaking me out, man.
Levi is in my face, desperation fueling him more than anger. He doesn't want this to be real. But there's no denying the presence of my dead father and my younger self. I remember today. It's impossible to forget.
We'll hear a rifle shot in a few minutes, I say. I tag a buck straight off, my first. About a minute later, my father puts it down with a second shot, because I can't.
I see it there, desperate for breath, shitting itself in fear, and I freeze up. A few hours later, I take another buck bigger than the first. My father tells me, a man who can hunt these woods can feed his family no matter the state of the world outside. I put the second deer down myself.
All your memories that vivid?
Levi asks, still doubting my ridiculous claims.
I barely remember last week.
I don't remember all that because of today. I remember it because of tomorrow.
Well, it's tomorrow.
October 14th, 1985. I push myself back from the tree, feeling a little more stable as I settle into this new unreality. The day my father dies. Levi leans back against a tree, mulling over my claims.
You didn't balk when I said it was October,
I noticed.
So what? We traveled back in time? How's that even possible?
You're asking the wrong person, I say, head turning uphill, projecting my thoughts beyond my dead father and young Owen. Whatever's happening, it originated at Synergy. But I don't think it was an explosion.
Meaning what?
That we're headed in the wrong direction.
If it's 1985, we're not going to find Synergy. We're going to find the Black Creek coal mine, fully operational and packed with workers.
Not on a Sunday, I say. My grandfather used to say, the mines control everything in Harlan County, everything but the Lord's Day. If the mine is there, it'll be empty. Running into workers is the least of our problems.
How so?
If Synergy did this and the facility is gone, I reckon we'll be stuck here. I step back into the road. The truck is long gone, out of sight. Levi mutters and paces, kicking leaf litter, flexing his fingers. Then he shrugs.
Worst case scenario, we live in Black Creek when it was still a nice place, invest in Microsoft, and then move the hell away before it becomes a shithole. Hell, if you're feeling benevolent, you could invest your wealth in the community.
My first instinct is to argue against his spur-of-the-moment flight of fancy, but when I think about it, really think about it, I can't come up with a reason to say no. Not being able to read my mind, Levi adds,
I mean, you live alone, right? No lady in your life, near as I can tell. Parents are dead. Hell, your pa bites it tomorrow. Maybe you could do something about that. My family is shit. I won't miss them, and they won't miss me. I got nothing to lose, and I don't think you do either.
A concept reaches out from the depths of my mind, given birth by my long-since-diminished love of science fiction. We'd create a paradox.
A pair what?
If we change the past, we change the future.
Ain't that the point?
Could be in ways we don't intend. Look, I'm already born. I don't need to worry about that, but you're not conceived for a while yet. What if something we do in the past keeps your parents from meeting? Then you'll never be born and...
Oh, wow!
Levi seems more excited than horrified by the prospect of non-existence.
It's like that movie with the guy and the clock tower and the truck of manure, the guy who almost boned his ma.
Back to the future. Levi snaps his fingers.
That's the one, but it's a movie, right? Think any of that is possible?
If movies are our only source of information on the subject, I reckon that's about as good as knowing nothing.
But the paradox thing makes some kind of sense.
It does, but I don't know what to say about it. We're so far and over our heads, it's mind-numbing. Nothing in my education or in my time as a U.S. Marine prepared me for anything like this. But this is still Black Creek. And if I can survive the 80s as a kid, I can do it again as an adult. If we're stuck here, then we need to leave and let things play out. Short of killing ourselves, our presence will change the future, but maybe not for you.
And your pa?
Levi asks. You're just gonna let him die? Who's to say I'd still be here if he didn't? I'm not worried about making it so I'm not born, but if my life... I point up the dirt road. If his life changes, then who's to say it's my house you break into? Maybe I'm married. Maybe I leave and never come back.
Maybe we'll both disappear, Levi says. Then this will never have happened.
Or maybe we'll both just cease to exist. I shake my head. This is why the sciences never interested me. I like problems that can be solved with a little equal parts brain and brawn. This situation calls for an inordinate amount of the first, and the only place we're likely to find that is at Synergy, assuming they made the trip to 1985, too.
Too many maybes.
Then what's the plan?
We're going to backtrack, again.
I'd rather go downhill, Levi complains. Black Creek might be a nice place to live in 1985, but it's still a small town smack dab in the middle of Appalachia. There's no one down there smart enough to figure this out, but if we get to the top and only find a mine, we'll head to town, get a bite to eat.
If they take your fancy new bills...
Damn it, kid makes a good point. And we'll take it from there, one thing at a time, okay? Levi starts up the hill, his athletic stride reduced to the defeated scuffing walk of a death row inmate being led to the electric chair.
Sure you didn't slip some LSD in those eggs?
Wish that were the case, but... A rifle shot makes both of us flinch, despite the distance. We stand in silence, waiting for confirmation. It comes a minute later when a second shot tears through the forest. Young Owen McCoy has just learned how to take a life. And it won't be the last. For years I hunted these woods, first to remember my father, and then to feed myself. Then I hunted people in the far reaches of the world as a Marine Corps raider. The unit name had been dropped following World War II, but resurrected unofficially during the 90s and officially recognized in 2015. We specialized in guerrilla warfare of the variety that won the United States independence from Britain and now frustrates the mighty U.S. military throughout the Middle East. Controlled chaos is the best way to describe what we did, disrupting supply routes, performing random strikes, generally making the enemy feel nervous 24/7. Despite being good at my job and the killing that came with it, the act of taking a life was always sour for me. I did it today for my father, later for my country. I hoped it would get easier, that I could watch a man's life fade and not be haunted by it. But I still remember the look in that deer's eyes, the one my younger self is staring at right now. A shrink once told me it was because I came to associate all death with the passing of my father, that it increased my sense of empathy for the slain and for those that might miss them. She made it sound like a virtue. But when you're a Marine raider, hesitation to take a life could mean death for the squad. So I left. Never thought I'd see any real kind of action again, and in a sense, I still haven't. But I can feel that old self waking up. My thoughts race with possibilities, with scenarios to explore, with courses of action to pursue. Adrenaline pumps through my veins, urging me to take action. But all of this is tempered by the unknown. There is no enemy, I remind myself. No one to kill. No one to hunt. No one to fear. And then a gunshot tears through the woods. Levi and I both flinch out of our thoughts.
That you again? Levi asks. Tagging your second buck?
I shake my head. Too soon. And that was a handgun. Modern. 9 mil. Three more shots ring out, and by the time the last rounds echo has faded into the distance, I've broken into a sprint.